Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. I had a chance to share that with someone just here recently. They asked a question and they said, how would you describe your belief? And I let them know that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. There's only God's way. There is no other way. I want to remind you that we have 56 days. Time has really gone by from the hundreds, the count of hundreds, down to 56 days, and May 30th will be here. And we'll be celebrating our Southern Cal Pentecost service. We'll be consecrating from May 1st through the 30th, seeking the Lord that he would have his way in the service, that there's be a great deliverance, that his spirit would have free course, that his word will have preeminence. Now, during that consecration, that means that we will not be eating or eating any meat. There we go. We won't be eating any meat during that time. And so as you join in, that just means that you'll have, instead of having regular tacos, you're going to have to make black IP tacos, and you add a little coleslaw on top of that and whatever else that you want to go along with it. I'm sure somebody said, but let me tell you that for some, that is a delicacy. And so we'll have to talk about that another time, as that particular meal was introduced to some coaches or a coach from the NBA, and their family loved it. The family loved it. And I think you will too. I like black IP tacos, and you know, so there's going to be a substitute of a variety of things that you normally would add meat. Maybe you might like chili Fritos. Well, instead of buying a can of chili or making your own chili and adding that to the Fritos to eat, you're going to use chili beans without any meat, cheese and sour cream and, you know, sauce or whatever your condiments are going to be, but you're just not going to add meat to it. We're praying that God will have and do what he wants to be done in this service. And so my prayer is that you would join in with us and consecrate. Let us know that you're with us, that you're consecrating with us. You know, go to the website, connectingtruth.org. Send us an email. Let us know that you're with us. Send us a testimony or prayer request. All things are confidential except that which you allow us to share. Now, we're in the book of Genesis, touching what is referred to as the law of particularization. We're moving from the general to the particulars. The universe, earth, man, and spirit. We're touching the creation and the principal person who is the cosmological, the cause of all things, and the teleological, the designing mind behind everything, and that is God himself. And so let's open our Bibles up to the book of Genesis, the 24th chapter. Now, I hope and pray that you have had a fantabulous day. And if not, make it a fantabulous evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for allowing us to proclaim your word, to teach your word, to exalt, and most of all, to live your word. Thank you for your kindness and grace. I ask that you bless those that are tuning in, those that will be listening later. Lord God, as their hours and schedules permit, ask that you bless them, Lord, by what is being said. Lord God, have your way, Lord. Move in a mighty way. Keep your word straight in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope and pray that you are looking for the return of our Lord and Savior. Now, I know that people have been saying Jesus is coming soon for years, and years and years. And he is. He is. I thank God that he didn't come when yet, because that means there's time for souls to be saved. That gives me another opportunity to declare his word and to let someone know that he is a risen Savior. As Paul wrote, and as we exhorted on Sunday, if Christ be not risen, but we know that he is, and we are not false witnesses of the power of God, but we are true witnesses of what God is capable of doing. You know, he resurrected our lives and reunited us. Reconciliation, that's what Christ's work was about. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. And he is coming back again. And he's coming back for those that are sanctified. Sanctification means that you've separated yourself. You've set yourself aside from the pleasures of sin. People look at sin and say, oh, that's ugly. And I don't look, all of us, if you're being real, you know, there was pleasure in it, but you knew it was offensive to God. And so you stopped. You stopped it. He's coming back. And he's coming back for those that are looking for him. So your mindset should be that, you know, as I live from day to day, I know that he's going to come. And he said he's going to come as a thief in the night. That's what the elder or the bishop or the apostle Peter said. And that, you know, he's going to come. And the Bible tells us that he's going to come when no man knows the day or the hour. It's just going to happen. And it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So ready or not, and when he comes, that's it. Ready or not, moment, twinkling of an eye. And we shall be changed, those that are ready. Now, there was 10 young ladies that was virgins. They were out waiting, but 5 of them felt it was all right not to, you know, don't take all of that. That's pretty much the attitude they had. It doesn't take all of that. I can make it off of what I have. I don't feel I can make it off of what I have. I don't feel I can. And I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not confessing that I'm confessing that I'm inadequate as far as to depend upon my own righteousness. I need the righteousness of Christ, just like you do, in order to be saved. And so to obtain that righteousness, I got up this morning and sat down with a cup of coffee and read my Bible and thought about what God was saying. And so let's talk a little bit more about that, because he is coming. And when you least expect it, things happen. The Bible tells us in the book of, by now you should have gotten Genesis, the 24th chapter. All right, the 24th chapter, verse 63 through 64, and I know that we're actually at the 27th chapter, but as I was reading the word of God again, I like to go back and reread the word of God, because you're not going to exhaust the word of God. It's inexhaustible. And you're going to see something that you may not have seen before, or you're going to pay attention to something, but something's going to stand out to you. And so the Bible tells us, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now, the thought here, again, is when you least expect it. The Bible says Isaac went out to meditate at a particular time of the day. I did not say how often he went during the week. It doesn't say that he was out there often. It just says that at this moment, it's a particular time of the day, and Isaac is out there meditating. And he found a particular place that he wanted to go to and to meditate in that moment. And so he may not have gone every day. How about you? Maybe he went twice a day. I don't know. Maybe he was committed to going out to meditate once a week. The point is that he spent time to do this. Maybe this was the first time he went. Maybe this was the beginning. Or maybe this was, but the point is that it existed. How about you? Did you spend any time today meditating in the morning before you went to work, when you came home from work? To meditate means to think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time. Now, you do this by placing yourself in a quiet place, a place of solitude, some silent place, you know, that you have reserved. It can include prayer. My grandfather, and we was talking about this last week, myself and cousins, and about how my grandfather, Seaborn Henderson, he would, as children, we would hear him with his lead guitar or rhythm guitar, sitting in the bedroom singing hymns unto the Lord. That was his quiet time. And he meditated during that time, singing hymns unto the Lord. That was his focus. He wouldn't bother nobody. Nobody went and knocked on that door. Nobody. I don't even recall my grandmother going in there when he was sitting there playing in that room. The meditation could be you sitting down reading the Word of God, undisturbed. You don't want anything to distract you. Meditation is used for religious or spiritual purpose. And same thing with Bible class and Sunday service and other worship services that we attend. And it can be used as a method of relaxation. When you're still, when it's quiet, we all calm down during that time. Meditation is, it aids our mental, emotional, and physical being. And so sometimes we need to steal away and decompress. The purpose of going on vacation is that you decompress, you unwind, you unzip, you relax. And so you can live a little. The Bible tells us in Psalm 63, the first verse, it says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." So see, we can meditate even at night after we lay down and we're thinking about the goodness of God, you know. That's why it's so important that we're careful about what we're listening to, what we are watching on TV or listening to on the radio or whatever that source of entertainment is. We're careful about what we're allowing into our spirit. I don't want a bunch of cuss words and different things that people are saying. I don't care how action-filled the movie is. I don't find that stimulating. I don't want to see a bunch of stuff, naked people, male or female, on no, because I don't want that in my mind when I lay down. I don't want that in my conscious and while I'm trying to meditate. I need to wash. I need to be washed at that point if I'm exposed to all of that. And so do you. We have to be washed. We have to be made clean so that we can properly meditate. The Bible said, "He that bear the vessel of the Lord must have clean hands." And so we have to be careful with those things that we're handling that's unto the Lord. And it begins with your body. The Bible tells us, and I believe it's Romans 12 and 1, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. This is our reasonable service. It starts there. It doesn't start with the cleaning of the church. It doesn't start with the cleaning of, you know, the physical maintenance of the sanctuary, which all of that's fine. It should be done. But all of that should line up with the maintenance of your body. Your body is a temple. Your body is a temple. And you should treat it as a temple, holy unto the Lord. And so when we meditate, when you lay down tonight, or maybe you're getting up and you're going to be listening to this on your drive to work or, but you're meditating, you're thinking about God, you're thinking about him, and you don't want to be distracted. You know, we can meditate and think about the Lord, not be distracted in whatever other activities that we're doing. Just like we think have multiple thoughts at any other time. Unlike you and I, Isaac did not have the written word. Not that he didn't have a Bible to read and to give him. He could sit down and read the book of Psalms. Now, that's been my daily devotion in the morning, the book of Psalms. I just completed reading Psalms 119 this morning and a few other chapters. But, you know, that's been my daily devotion for a little while this year. He didn't have the written word. What we are reading is the inspired word of God. We have an advantage. At least I like to look at it as an advantage. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so the word, the written prophetic word that we read, the Old Testament, New Testament, and it works together, because in order to understand the New Testament, you do have to understand the Old Testament and what was going on there and how it ushered in what we see the dispensation of grace. Moses was a holy man and given an assignment to document part of history, or his, if you take history, you can separate, you have two words there, his story. Moses had to know how to listen. So in meditation, we have to know how to listen. He needed to know how to write. He needed to know how to read and reiterate the information in a way that could be ingested and processed by each of us. And so God used him, and God spoke to him, God inspired him, and he is the author, as far as we know, of five writings that points us to God. He also needed to spend some quiet time meditating on what God was telling him. Now, I'm a little ahead of myself because we're in the book of Genesis, and we won't get to this until we're in Exodus, if the Lord say the same. But Moses was called into the upper level of the land. He was called into the mountain. and so he would not be distracted by what was going on around him. So see, when God wants to speak to us, or when you want to talk to God, sometimes you need to separate yourself so that you are not distracted, so that you're able to meditate. You're able to think about what is being said. You're able to think about what you want to say. So see, it's not always what God is telling. Sometimes it's what you want to say, because you need to articulate properly what you want. Maybe it's something you've been pondering in your heart. Or, you know, as you consider what you're praying about, because sometimes it's like going to what I call Master Google. When we're Googling something, if we don't ask the right question, we don't get the right answer. And yeah, we can say, well, God knows my heart. He does. But you've got to open your mouth up and say something too. And there are some things that you pray about within your heart, but articulate it well. I'm not saying that. Now, God does not need a Cracker Jack decoder ring to understand what you're saying or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that when we sit down and we're talking to the Lord, we need to think about what we're saying and how we're saying it. And how are we approaching him? Are we just give me, give me, give me? Or are we approaching him as being the king? Are we honoring him? The thing about the consecration that I mentioned earlier is that we're honoring the Lord by abstaining from something because we want his undivided attention too. We want his attention not for things, but his attention for our spiritual necessity. And I believe, and we'll talk about this later, is that when you entreat God the right way, he'll make provision for other things as well. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks from now, because I want to talk about the consecration prior to us starting it. Now, there are times we need to do the same. Isaac stepped out and apparently got the same message too. And Isaac went out to meditate. Somewhere in Isaac's life, he was told that he needed to meditate. He needed to be still. He needed to separate himself. Think about what's going on around you. Sometimes when we sit down and think, we come up with ideals and we come up with creation. We come up with necessities. You know, the situation might be extreme, but out of it, a necessity is created, something that will help others, even help ourselves. Now, do you have time to meditate? The phone can wait. Yes, the phone can ring. Whatever and whoever's on the other end of that phone can wait. Now, if you're expecting a phone call at 9 o'clock, then of course you should not start a meditation at 9 o'clock. You should either do it earlier or wait till after the phone call. I would do it earlier, because you don't know what wisdom might be imparted unto you during that meditation, that when you get that particular phone call, it will come into play. Now, what if it's emergency? Well, listen, do you believe God can handle it? If you don't believe God can handle the emergency, then the situation is already hopeless. It's already hopeless. If you are not a doctor on call, if you are not a nurse on call, if you are not a first responder of any sort, what are you going to do except receive the call and go into whatever mode that you go into when you hear about emergency? You're not going to go into the operating room. You're going to, if you believe, then you're going to call other people to pray about it. And so, but if you're in that meditation, now, I know this personally because I was on the altar praying. And while I was on the altar praying, I had finished the prayer and I started to get up. And just as I started to move, the image of an individual that I knew flashed before me. And I realized I needed to stay there on the altar and pray for them. And I found out when I came in contact with them again that they were about to go in and have heart surgery. It was an older gentleman, and he let me know that he was about to have heart surgery. And I understood what was going on. That was intercessory prayer. That was intercessory prayer on his behalf. So see, if you're in the right place, then the phone call won't matter because you were in the right place to have intercession for whatever the situation might be. I believe that God can. He can handle it for us all. Now, 5 years ago, I was in the hospital and the doctor said, I don't know. The doctor told me that they did not know what was wrong with me. All my x-rays, the ultrasound, the blood tests, the stress test they gave me, everything came back negative. No plaque in my arteries. I saw my heart. I saw the live beating of my heart. I saw the images of them, the arteries in my neck and everything. They did a thorough exam of me. ultrasounds on my chest and everything. Everything has come back negative, that there is nothing wrong with me. Even when I passed out, because in the hospital, when they took me for a stress test, I asked, could I get some air? And they said, no, just be still. And next thing I knew, they was racing down the hall with me, and I revived. I revived without any equipment. They didn't have to use any type of CPR, no shock treatment or anything to revive me. God revived me. Everything was good. Everything was God. And so our hope and our trust and our faith and everything depend on God. Now, I'm not saying that doctors aren't needed. If you have a situation and you need to go to the doctor, please go. The Bible says those that are sick need a physician. Go to the doctor. Don't deny yourself that privilege. Don't deny yourself the ability to go to the doctor when you need to go. Gentlemen, you need to get physicals. You need colonoscopies. You need to get checked out. You need to make sure that your prostate is in check. You need to be checked out. You need to eat fiber. Make sure that you're not just packing it all in that pie hole in your mouth. Okay. You're not just packing it all in one place and it's not coming out the other. There are significant outlets that God has given us that what goes in comes out. Okay. It should be regular. And so we need to eat the right things in order to make that happen and not deprive ourselves of the goodness and the way these bodies are supposed to function. So it's okay to shut the phone off and other devices. When the kids go to school, it's a good time to meditate. When your husband or your wife go to work, it's a good time to meditate. When you are in the car alone, maybe you have an hour drive and, you don't have to have everything on and you don't have to honk the horn at everybody that slow down or jump lanes. Just leave space, drive properly, meditate. Don't stress yourself out over that. No, you should be meditating, thinking about God and talking to Him. It's your time to escape. Escape into your field like Isaac did. The Bible said he was in the field at evening tide. So this particular part of the day, evening tide, he's in the field. This was his place for meditating. It was his quiet place, his happy place in that moment. And so you ought to reserve a place that provides you some tranquility. Some people, I've heard people talk about just going into their closet and praying for a little while. Just no one knows that they're even in the closet. Just seeking the Lord, just taking some time out, someplace that is not disturbed. And you know, your closet is not disturbed. Besides you hanging something in there, it is not disturbed. It's not like any other place in the home. It's not like the kitchen. There's lots of noise in the kitchen. It's not like the family room. There's lots of noise in the family room. But the closet is someplace that is undisturbed. Now, you're familiar with Psalms 1, beginning at the first verse. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. We meditate. We think about the goodness of God. I remember being in the car with saints, and especially the pastor and other pastors. And this was before I even had where I am today, but I would hear them say, thank you, Jesus. I would just hear them give God a praise. And I listened to that, and I understand it better today than I did then. Thank you, Jesus. Our meditation, our pondering and thinking is powerful. It is a spiritual, even without speaking openly, there is a spiritual impact on you about meditation. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the thoughts of our heart produces something. What is the pondering? What is the meditation that's going on inside? Because see, we meditate on stuff. And we don't classify this meditating. If you're thinking about something constantly, well, if you're pondering it constantly, well, and so therefore we've now moved into that area that we are meditating upon that thing. It could be a situation or anything that we just have not learned to find some element of peace in it. And so it overwhelms us. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts produce something. So if we're thinking about the Lord, we're spending time meditating on him. The Bible tells us that I'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is staying on me. So that's meditation. You're meditating on the Lord. Things will not easily startle you. Things will not easily disrupt your day because you are and have been meditating on the Lord. And so it's not easy to disrupt your peace. The Lord has already given you a promise that I'll keep you in perfect peace. I'll keep you in peace if your mind is stayed on me. Keep your mind on him. The individual in Proverbs 23 and 7, it says, for as he thinketh, so is he, eateth and drinketh, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now that individual in which Solomon is speaking about has another agenda in his heart. Your agenda is to stay at peace with God and to put yourself in a position so that you can hear from God. As we meditate on the word of God and his ability, we are thinking about things that are according to his will. When we pray, Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, we're thinking about the things that will line up with his will. And if we're not sure, Lord, if it is your will, and so when it's God's will, things happen suddenly. Many times when we least expect it, it manifests. Even though we're walking with the expectation, we don't know the day or the hour when that thing is going to manifest, but we believe that it will. And because we are meditating and in constant communication with God, it manifests. It manifests because it lined up with his will. It manifested because it lined up with his word. You lined up with the law of God, and he honors his own word. He can't help it. God can't help it. No, he can't. Because the Bible tells us that his word is exalted even above his name. And you'll find that in the book of Psalms. The word of the Lord is exalted even above his name. And another scripture tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word is gonna be there. It's gonna stand no matter what. It don't matter who changes it. It don't matter who rewrite. It don't matter who place their comments in it. It don't matter none of that stuff at all. The word of God is going to remain the same. And the scripture lets us know, in Revelation, it lets us know, and not only in Revelation, but throughout the Old Testament, that the books were open and that those books were dealing with the word of God as well as the story that you're writing. It's a beautiful thing when the story that's been written, it says that you took time to meditate on the word of God so that you could become more familiar with him. Don't you want that in your story, part of your history, part of your daily diary, that you meditated on the word of God, that you thought about his goodness? And when you came across someone else that was a believer, you shared that praise and glory unto God. And the Bible said in Malachi that those that fear the Lord often spank one another, and a book of remembrance was written because you're thinking about him. You're meditating on him. James, the first chapter, fourth verse, it says, let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think. Let that man, because see, we start meditating and we start teeter-tottering, and you know, we're supposed to be meditating on God's ability and his goodness and his grace and his awesomeness and his supremacy above everything. But if we are double-minded, we become wishy-washy. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Meditation helps us not to be double-minded, not to be wishy-washy, not to be a seesaw. And just one moment we're up, next moment we're down. It gives us stability. We would create a relationship with God. And so the Bible says that Isaac lifted up his eyes. Yeah, Isaac looked out, you know, he looked out yonder, as they would say. But what was he looking from? He was looking from a place where that he was at evening time. He had been meditating in the field. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. The thing that he was hoping for. He knew that his dad's servants had went out. At least I believe that. And went to his brother's house to find him. And he looked out. But he was out in that field meditating because there was a lot of things going on. Let's kind of rewind that, because he saw Rebecca. Rebecca came to greet him. You know, they met each other. He showed her his mom's tent and he took her for a bride. And the Bible said that he was comforted. He was comforted. So prior to this, Isaac was not comforted. Isaac was yet dealing with things in his life and in his heart that he needed comforting in. What about you? How much stability did Isaac's meditation provide for him? I believe it provided quite a bit. I believe that it opened a door. It opened opportunities for God to communicate with him. And so the thing that he needed came when he least expected it. Can you set aside some time to meditate? Some time that you give unto the Lord, and that you shut everything else down. You know, and we know how to do it because we turn our phones off or we look at our phone. Oh, that's Pastor Carl calling. I'm not going to answer that. I'm not saying anyone does that, but we know how to shut people down. We know how to turn them off. Yes, we do. And so we should do that for the right reason, and that is giving our time unto the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness. We thank you for this short exhortation, Lord God, and pray and ask that you would bless, Lord. Bless your word to stay stirred in our heart. Help us, Lord God, to meditate on you, to think about you. You said if we meditate on you, that we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and our leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever we do shall prosper. Lord God, help us to meditate, Lord God, and to know your word. But also, Lord God, as we study in school, on the job, things that we are doing with our hands, with our mind, in relationship to one another, Lord God, and ask that you would bless and have your way, Lord God, as we think about your goodness. You said if any man lack wisdom, as we read from James, Lord God, that if we're double-minded, that we won't receive what we're looking for because we're not stable. But Lord, you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask you. And so I pray and ask that you would bless each one under the sound of my voice with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we'll be careful to give your name the praise and to give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Inside the Pages. I thank God for each of you. And God bless you. Continue to pray for us as we are praying for you as well. Again, our website is connectingtruth.org. That is connectingtruth.org. www.thebestwaytoface.org. And so we'd love to hear from you, testimony, words of encouragement. Let the Lord bless you. Set aside some time to meditate on Him. Amen. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.